across from me, we got downtown Buffalo, New York. Some people say the armpit of America. I don't like that term. You know what I like? The beautiful Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo. 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 Buffalo.
Buffalo. Hello, everyone, and Buffalo. Welcome back Buffalo. To another episode, or highly anticipated episode of the widely beloved podcast known as the Kyle Selegi Variety Hour. This is episode 44. This is the first time I've shouted out the episode number in a long time. I think I got to like four initially, then I was like, let's not say the number anymore. But here we are. Got to 44 again, and I decided to start shouting out the number again because there's nothing else to do. I'm bored. I'm in quarantine. I'm going a little crazy. I'm sure everyone's going a little crazy in quarantine. Bills have been going crazy too. They've been in quarantine, so they've just been like, we got like $80 million. Let's spend it all on mediocre to decent players. So that's what they did. We're going to talk about the free agent signings that the Buffalo Bills made today. And joining me to discuss the Bills free agent signings, first, it's returning for his fourth episode in 2 weeks, just the second to be released. It's Justin DeLauro. Dila, how are you?
I'm doing tremendous. I'm glad to be here virtually.
Yep.
Digitally.
We're at least 6 feet away, at least.
Going a little stir crazy right now, so it's something.
Are you 6 feet away from your microphone?
I am not.
Oh, no, that's not good.
Is that not good?
That's not good. I read a conspiracy theory that coronavirus spreads through, like, 5G or something.
Yes!
I was yes. like, what? Wait, what's going on? I've read... Yeah.
You see people, like, dodging air just to, like, not get caught up in it.
I am well-versed in coronavirus conspiracy theories at this point. I read one, and for the most part, there was something where it was like, the U.S. is going to extend the federal tax deadline. And everyone was like, no, that'll never happen. And then it happened, so now I buy the conspiracy theory. But there was just vocabulary in the conspiracy theory that I didn't understand that was far too complex for me. That's another story, I'll say, after... introducing the second guest on the podcast. It's returning from a multi-week hiatus. He's been building up his island economy in Animal Crossing. It's McKenna Middlebrook.
Oh, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
I'm doing okay. Oh my God. I'm as
<You're> fine.
I'm as good as I can be now.
I'm back from my time in Stoke upon Trent. Right. You know, meeting with Port Vale Football Club. Things are actually in the works. This is not a joke. Things are happening. So,
I will, yep.
Yeah.
I will say there has been at least some communication.
Some emails have been sent back and forth. I know some people, or one person, and things actually might happen pretty quickly here.
We'll see. that's ridiculous.
If this actually happens, it might... I don't even know.
There's no Port Vale football to talk about right now, which...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, but once Port Vale football starts happening, you know, England's in lockdown as well, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see how it goes. But to go back to the story that I was gonna say before I introduced you, McKenna... So, my last class before all SUNY classes were canceled. The SUNY classes were actually canceled in the middle of this class, so that was fun. But, so I had to give a speech. And it was supposed to be a personal speech about something I believe in. So I prepared this decent, I'll say a decent 4-page speech, right? It's at Buffalo State, so it was, like, very complex for them.
oh my
God. Dude, people at Buff State kind of suck. But... going off that, so I gave this nice speech, well-spoken, nicely presented, etc., you know, the huge, and then afterwards, this was actually a complaint from my teacher. She said the vocabulary was too complex, and I was like, that is Buff State in a nutshell, is it not? I put work in to a speech, and the response was, not everyone could understand it.
Wow. Like,
I hate this school. This school is awful. Speaking of awful, the Buffalo Bills made a few free agents.
Just going right into it today. This is a first.
They weren't that bad. Well, you weren't here a few weeks ago, but we read a podcast reviews, and somebody called this the worst one ever because we talked about soccer for 30 minutes. So, oh boy, are they gonna be peeved if this stuff happens? If this goes through. Oh boy, are they gonna be peeved? But the Buffalo Bills made a few free agent signings over the offseason thus far. They signed. Yeah, we'll get right into it. There's nothing else to do. We're 5 minutes in. There's nothing else to talk about because there's no other sports going on. So the Buffalo Bills entered the offseason with $80 million in cap space, roughly. They made a few re-signings, like Dean Marlowe was a huge re-signing. Quentin Spain was genuinely a pretty big re-signing. They didn't re-sign Jordan Phillips. They didn't re-sign Shaq Lawson. So they had, you could argue, three, not even like huge free agents entering the offseason, but they had three, you know, good role players, and they only re-signed one of them, let the other two go. So they entered the offseason with a lot of cap space, and they spent it on players who they felt will make the team better. Will they make the team better? We'll get into that. They also made a trade for Stephon Diggs. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but the Bills traded for Stephon Diggs last week, a number one wide receiver. We're not going to be talking about that this week because this is about free agent signings, and we talked about Stephon Diggs all of last week. That was a whole hour-long podcast dedicated to that. So if you want to hear our thoughts on Stephon Diggs, you can listen to that podcast. But today, as I said, we're going to be discussing the Bills' free agent signings. And the, you could argue, the highest profile signing out of the ones they made, because I'm going to go in order of what I think is, you know, ace signing to whatever, you know, the gem of their free agent stone. Or that doesn't make sense. The gem of their free agent class down to whoever, Tywan Jones. I'm going to say probably the most marquee guy is former Carolina Panther Mario Addison. He is, let me check how old Mario Addison is.
I think he's,
is.
Mario, 32?
He's 32. He's one of the older boys in the world. He's in that coronavirus danger zone. That's a joke. D'Lo, I'll let you talk now, sorry.
No, I just... I was just going to say I thought Josh Norman would be the bigger name that was signed.
Oh, I forgot about him.
I forgot about him as well.
What?
Have I had you guys talk about Josh Norman on the air before? I know I did a forward, and somebody replied, no, that was a bad forward. I think I've had you talk about it, D'Lo, right?
I think we've talked a little bit about it, how you know, how he was going to compete with Levi Wallace and the whole idea that Norman coming back to Sean McDermott defense would help him out immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he's old and lost a step, it would still kind of bring him back to at least closer to his former glory.
Right. I think he has a better chance to succeed here than he ever had in Washington, if that makes sense. But also, I mean, Ron Rivera, who was his head coach, cut him. That's my big hiccup here. And you could argue that that had more to do with his cap hit than it did with the player. Like, if Josh Norman was ever willing to restructure and take a considerable pay cut, I don't know. Like, if that was a storyline, I think I'd be more open to the Josh Norman signing. Like, Rivera wanted to keep him around. He just didn't want to take a pay cut. But that hasn't been reported. So the fact that Ron Rivera was okay with parting ways with him, the head coach, we'll see if the defensive coordinator from back in the day will help him find success. But McKenna, I don't think you've been on since the Bills signed Josh Norman. So what are your thoughts on it?
An interesting one at the face of it. But yeah, when you dig deeper, it's sort of another Carolina connection. I think that he won't be the starter in Buffalo, which he was in Washington. At least I think he was a starter for most of his time there, which is, I think, what he needs. He doesn't have to play all that much because I still think he can make an impact, especially in this Bills zone defense where you're not going to be playing, you know, a lot of press coverage. I think it'll really just help him out a lot, and hopefully he turns into a good signing. 1 year, $6 million. Even if he doesn't, you know, it's not a big deal, but...
So do you think he's more Kevin Johnson, a replacement for Kevin Johnson, than he is a replacement for Levi Wallace?
Yeah, for sure. I think Levi Wallace is a far better corner at this time than Josh Norman is. Maybe not far better, but, you know, he's better than him, for sure.
So then why did they pay him more than Kevin Johnson got? I don't understand this. I don't know if Josh Norman could be an upgrade over Kevin Johnson. I just don't know if he is. I guess we'll have to wait and see. It's just, it peeves me, I guess, is the main takeaway here, is that Kevin Johnson comes in and does a fine job in the role he's asked to play, and then the Bills replace him with somebody who they used to know. The Bills regime, to quote Gautier,
there it is.
they replaced him with somebody who they used to know.
Somebody!
That's a great song. It's truly a banger. He seriously dropped that one and then dipped. He's like, okay, I'm done.
Did he even release any more music at all? Was he just like, this is it, I know this is going to be it, and I'm just going to, you know, I'm out.
If anybody knew the answer to that, I would be shocked. Anybody in the world.
How do you spell his name? Gautier.
It's Gautier. Oh. It's literally Gautier. Gautier, yeah. That's why I think it was all a ruse. He knew he was going to drop one and then just go because his name is Gautier.
Oh. Speaking of conspiracy theories.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's a conspiracy theory for you.
Do you know his birth name?
Yes.
Wouter de Backer. He is Belgian and Australian.
Oh, I thought his name was literally Gautier. I thought it was okay. Well, there is it's like Hozier or someone, maybe Hozier, Hozier. Who's saying take me to church?
Oh, I don't think was that Hoosier?
Yeah, they're the Indiana Hoosiers.
The Indiana Hoosiers. Oh yeah, he did say that. Yeah.
Where's Bobby Knight?
He's looking at a chair right now. Oh my god.
Oh, but yeah, Hozier's in his last name though.
That's, yeah. Okay.
Andrew that's what John it is. Hozier Bryan.
That's what it was.
Burn, sorry.
Yeah. And, like, to go back to Kevin Johnson, off that tangent, Kevin Johnson, I mean, they gave him a fate worse than death. He had to sign with Cleveland. Like, that's just, I feel bad for the guy. He comes in and he's fine. He does what he's asked to do, competes for a starting job, just loses out, comes in and plays when he has to, and then he ends up going to Cleveland. Just, whatever, he's getting paid. Maybe he'll start. I want nothing but the best for Kevin Johnson in life. Sometimes in life, I was going to quote Adele, but I don't know Adele lyrics. This is just the music podcast now. So yeah, I think that wraps up Josh Norman talk. So, back to the former Carolina Panther, Mario Addison. Mario Addison signed a 3-year, $30.5 million deal with the Buffalo Bills, $15 million of which is guaranteed. Now, Mario Addison is 32 years of age, has played the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years with the Carolina Panthers. I think five of which were under Sean McDermott. So Sean McDermott is familiar with Mario Addison, familiar with his play style. Now, here's a bugaboo, guys. I don't know if you guys knew this about Mario Addison. His best production came without Sean McDermott.
That is true.
What? In his first year under Sean McDermott, in 2012, he only played 4 games, had 1 sack. The next year, played 16, 2.5. Next year, played 16, 6.5. The next year, played 14, 6 sacks, and then 9.5 in his final year under McDermott. And then since then, he's had 11, 9, and 9.5. So he had decent production under McDermott, and then when McDermott left, he consistently had good production. So we'll see how Mario Addison plays into this Bills defense. I think it's a good signing. I think he's a good pass rusher. Granted, giving a 32-year-old 3 years, 30 mil, giving him 10 mil a year, I don't know about that, but also they need pass rush. And Mario Addison is a proven pass rusher, and he's familiar with the defensive scheme. Now, is he a better pass rusher than Shaq Lawson, who they lost, who is replacing Shaq Lawson? Yes, I think he is a better pass rusher, but is he a better run defender? I don't know about that, but what they wanted was an upgrade at pass rush, which is what I think they got in Mario Addison. So, McKenna, what are your Mario Addison thoughts?
When he was signed, he was like, yeah, he's replacing Shaq Lawson. Shaq Lawson already left earlier that day, I presume. I think I'm remembering that correctly.
Yeah.
And he was that instant replacement, and again, a Carolina connection. Good production last year, especially. Like, I think that's a good way to start looking at him. 9.5 sacks. He was 31, 32 still. So he's still producing in his older age, which is good to see. I think hopefully he can continue that production in Buffalo, because even though there's not a lot of necessarily talent at pass rush, there are a lot of pass rushers that the Bills have, if you know what I mean. So he won't be playing every down, and he'll be able to rotate in with, you know, hopefully Daryl Johnson and hopefully the new signing Quentin Jefferson, which we'll get into later. But yeah, I think he'll play more than he'll probably be one of the starters, but he'll be rotated and not more likely than not.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. Is I do think he's just kind of replacing Shaq Lawson, but I don't know. What? Why not give? If you didn't want to give Shaq the 10 mil, why are you giving Mario Addison the 10 mil? Is it because he has higher upside as a pass rusher?
I assume so. Like, I think that's something the Bills needed to address, and they're still probably going to address in the draft. In my opinion, they needed people who can get to the quarterback, which is like the one really flaw, I guess you could say, of the Bills' defense the past couple of years under McDermott, that they haven't been able to get to the quarterback consistently. They'll have games where they'll get, you know, 4 or 5 sacks, but then they'll go 2 or 3 games with, like, you know, maybe a sack.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't had consistent pass rush yet under McDermott, which is, that's what you need. For a defense that's as good as this defense is, it's just strange how the hallmark of a good defense is typically a good pass rush, and they really haven't had that. So, D'Lo, what are your Mario Addison thoughts?
It's actually an interesting one. I think the pass rush upside is what's getting him in the contract. What's super interesting, though, is that they have a potential out after the 2020 season.
Makes a lot of sense.
So, you know, he's getting paid this year, but at the end of the, you know, this season, if they release him a year from now, it's only a $4 million cap hit, or yeah, dead cap hit. So, you know, I think it's kind of like a little shot in the dark where they're saying, you know what, we think at least this year this guy can help up our, you know, pass rush. It feels like the Bills are going all in to try and make a playoff run, a deep playoff run this year. They realize with Josh Allen being on his rookie contract still, there's still some flexibility. So let's take a swing with some guys. If this guy's going to be a pass rush specialist, so let's just put him opposite Jerry Hughes and just turn them loose.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it works out, then the next 2 years are fine. And truthfully, his dead cap hit over the, you know, 2021 and 2022 is not that great. So I think it's an interesting move. I mean, it feels like they want to put more pressure on the quarterback this year. They don't just want to kind of sit and lay back and have exotic schemes. I think they just want to go their front four, just attack the quarterback, and then be able to drop back other players to cause more havoc in the secondary.
I agree.
Yeah,
I didn't realize they had an out after this year, and how the dead cap's never that bad. Which
is, according to SpotTrack, it's $4 million out, you know, dead cap hit for 2021 if he's out. And let's say they keep him, you know, in 2022 his dead cap hit's only $2 million. So
that's a well structured contract.
So it's definitely a Billsy structured contract where it's if we want to get out of it later, we're just going to dump it.
Exactly. That's very smart, because Mario Addison, I think, has at least got a year left in him.
Yeah, it's boom or bust really for him. If he has a good season, they'll keep him on. But if, you know, he has like just a 2.5 sack season, we'll just be like, hey, nice knowing you. Cut you to the road.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but the Bills have a pretty good training facility. It hasn't been really talked about that much. Yes. Nobody really brings it up, but the Bills have a pretty nice training facility. So that will help a guy like Mario Addison, who is 32, who signed a mid to longer term deal, who it will end when he's 35. I'm sure that was an attractive selling point for Mario Addison to see the facilities and say, okay, if I want to extend my career into my mid-30s and potentially pass that, that's something that could help me out, is I can have this nice training facility with these trainers. I mean, look at Lorenzo Alexander, who just played till he's 36 or 37. Mario Addison could hypothetically, given he's still productive and he can now come into this building with this nice training facility, and that can help him extend his career should he be productive on the field. And another thing, that was a big thing with Lorenzo Alexander, right, was that he was older, but he was a special teamer for the majority of his career. I just had a weird throat thing. So there wasn't a lot of wear on the tires of his. He wasn't, like, he was playing when he was 36, but also he was like a 10 or 12 year vet, but he only really played for like six of them. Mario Addison, for the first 5 years of his career, he never played in more than five games. Or no, I could be wrong. No, one, two, I am wrong. For the first 2 years of his career, never mind, I don't know what I'm talking about. Forget that whole thing. See, here's the thing. On NFL Network.
He didn't play a lot.
Yeah. On NFL.com, they list, he played for at least two teams in each of his first two seasons. So they list his first 2 years as five different entries. So that's where I have that bugaboo. So he played in four, five, six, seven games in his first year. 12 games in his second year amongst three teams. So, you know, this podcast is just, it's going off the rails already. Mario Addison, he's 32. I think that's the takeaway here. Yeah. He has the nice facility to play, or to continue his career, to stay in shape, etc., etc. And as D'Lo brought up, it's structured in such a way that if they do want to get out of it, if they do think his age is catching up to him and he's not bringing that pass rush that they expected him to bring, they can get out of it relatively easily sooner rather than later. So, all things considered, I think it's a good move for the now, and now knowing that it is structured in such a way that they can get out of it, I think it's a good financial bet, a good signing overall. Going to a weird signing now.
Wait, before we go on, Kyle, I don't mean to interrupt, but I do mean to interrupt because I am interrupting.
Okay.
should we sort of talk about what would consist of a good season for the free agent, for the free agents that the Bills have signed?
That wouldn't be a bad idea. And then we can wrap it up with a grade. That's a good idea, McKenna.
Like, what would be a good season for Mario Addison? Like six sacks, six and a half sacks, something like
seven
that?
Seven or eight. I was thinking seven or eight.
I would like to see more. I would like to see eight.
Yeah, if you're paying him $10 million.
Oh, that's true. He's pretty pricey. So, yeah, eight sack season for Mario Addison, that would be like a good season. That would make him a good, you know, signing. What if he only gets like seven and a half sacks? Would you?
That's fine. I'll be lenient.
And what if he gets three sacks in one game?
And that's like his only. That's so difficult. It's the Jordan Phillips phenomenon. But you know, cut him.
Well, like, here's my thing. I just want a defensive end. They're not gonna get one who like racks up a bunch of sacks. I don't think. I think they do want to get pass rush by committee at defensive end. Had you asked me 2 weeks ago if that's what they wanted to do, I would have said no. They want an elite pass rusher because that's what Brandon Bean said. And granted, there's still a few very good pass rushers out on the market. But right now, I don't think they're going to sign someone like a Clowney, a Griffin, etc., or an Ngakoue. I think what they're going to do is kind of stick with what they have and draft a guy in the second round, and that's how they're going to get their pass rush. So I don't think you're going to get a defensive end who has 12, 13, 14 sacks. But I do hope you get like Jerry Hughes, Mario Addison, whoever they draft maybe, getting like in the 6 to 8 range, because Shaq Lawson last year was their leading sack getter at defensive end with like 6.5, I think. I don't want that to be the team high at defensive end. I want multiple guys. If you are going to do pass rush by committee, you need multiple guys to get 6 to 8 at least in order for it to be an effective pass rush by committee, I guess. So I would say, yeah, like 7 or 8 would be my baseline for a successful year for Mario Addison.
Awesome. Yeah. Seven would be like, okay. That's like anything less than that, I'd probably deem as like unsuccessful, because if he is replacing Shaq Lawson, he has to get, you know, more. Like, he has to get more than him, you know.
He has to get more than 6.5.
Yeah, you know, seven and a half, 8. Like, yeah.
Right. If you didn't want to pay Shaq the 10 that you paid Addison, and he got you 6.5 last year, Addison has to get at least 6.5.
Yeah.
And hopefully more. So what are we going to grade this? D'Lo, I'll go to you for your grade first.
I mean, I think right now, I mean, I'm going to, I don't know. I'll give it a B+.
I'll give it a B+. That sounds good to me.
I like that. Like I think he's going to get after the quarterback. It's a solid deal. It's a little more pricey than I would expect from him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if he gives me, you know, 10 sacks next year, it's going to feel like a deal. So let's give it a B+.
My feelings exactly. I'm good with that grade. If you are, McKenna,
B plus is perfect. I was a little more harsh on it before we started the podcast, but hearing that contract clause where they can get out of it at the end of the season, next season, it's a really good deal.
Sounds good to me. Moving on to the other signing, right? Oh, boy. The former Carolina Panther, it's Vernon Butler. Vernon Butler was a first-round pick in 2016, coming off an MVP season. Carolina had to strengthen its roster. Or coming off an NFC Championship season, an MVP season from Cam Newton. Carolina had to strengthen its roster. And what did it do? It took Vernon Butler to strengthen that defensive line. And that's exactly what Vernon Butler did, I guess. Vernon Butler, it's an interesting signing because it's 2 years, $15 million, 9.3 of which is guaranteed. Now, here's my issue. People, I've read from Vernon Butler. I've read fan blogs, Bills podcasts, whatever. I've seen some people say that he's going to bring some pass rush. And I think people are looking at his last year production, and that's where they're getting the idea that he's a solid pass rusher. In 2019, Vernon Butler started 9 games, appeared in 14, had 6 sacks, which is solid. But also, Carolina switched to a 3-4 defense last year. And he had, he was playing like in the defensive end role. He was playing on the outside in the 3-4. So that's part of the reason why his production ticked up, is they changed the defensive scheme. He was in a 3-4 as opposed to a 4-3. Looking back at when Carolina was in a 4-3, he never had more than 1.5 sacks in a season. Granted, that was in his lone year with Sean McDermott as his defensive coordinator, but also, don't expect Vernon Butler to come in here and play as a 3-tech to spell Ed Oliver from time to time. Instead, expect him to play in that Star Latulele role, to be the guy who's going to come in and spell Star Latulele from time to time when they bring in another 3-tech. Now, again, I had known who Vernon Butler was before this, but I wasn't very aware of his role in Carolina. So I read an article from a website called The Riot Report, which is, it appears to be a Carolina Panthers fan blog. This is by Vincent Richardson. Shout out Vincent Richardson. And this is what he wrote about Vernon Butler. Throughout his time in Carolina, Butler has been primarily used as a one tech, lining up between the guard and the center, and in the run game at least, being asked to anchor against double teams to allow the players around him to make more plays. This is something he has done a decent job of for the most part, but as the Panthers found with Star Latulele before him, and as the Giants are experiencing with Dexter Lawrence, it is hard for a first-round defensive tackle to justify his draft status when his major role is eating double teams. And this article also says that he played a little two-tech. So he's not the 3-tech that people think he is, or that some people think he is. He's not going to come in and spell Ed Oliver. He's going to be Star Latulele when Star Latulele is not on the field. Maybe he'll be a little more impactful than Star Latulele. Maybe he's a little more talented than Star Latulele. But I don't... This is going to be a signing that a lot of people aren't going to be happy with, because he's getting paid how much per year? 7.5 over a 2-year deal? At 9.3 of which over the 2 years is guaranteed for someone who's going to be playing the same role as Star Latulele. I mean, it's interesting that the Bills preach pass rush, yet the highest paid players on their defensive line are seemingly the block-eating defensive tackles. And again, you need the block-eating defensive tackles who can help stop the run, help get other players free to make plays in pass rushing, but I mean, the pass rush hasn't been great for the most part. So Vernon Butler's interesting to me. To give, 7.5, 15 mil over 2 years, that's not a huge amount of money. But also, it's a solid amount of money for a Star Latulele, for a 1B Star Latulele. It's just, it's strange. So, D'Lo, what are your thoughts on Vernon Butler here?
I mean, it's definitely strange, but it just seems like Latulele plays half the snaps anyway. Mm-hmm. So they're just going to rotate these two.
That's what they're going to do.
That's all they're going to do. The money, I mean, it's just interesting because it just seems like the money is burning a hole in their pocket right now. Like, they're just like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to sign this big guy, and hopefully he can just do what Latulele does, you know, for the other half of the snaps. And then when Latulele is at his best and Vernon's at his best, it's just going to be – they're just going to eat blocks and whatever. I mean, it's a lot of money for a big dude just to stand in the middle. He also has a favorable contract, though.
That's what Bean does.
So that's what Bean does. The potential out is if they boot him after this year, he'll only count $1 million against the cap next year, dead cap.
See, that's good.
So that's another good one, but at the same time, it's like it's a lot of money for a one tech guy, just a
Star Latulale.
So it's like we're spending so what he yearly cash this year he's making $8 million. Latulale's making I don't know like $8 million already. So that's a lot of money for one techs. If they feel like, I mean, I don't know, maybe Bean and McDermott feel like these guys are good enough to eat up two guys well enough so that, you know, Ed Oliver and, you know, Addison and Hughes and Trent Murphy can finally get to the quarterback a little bit. I mean, maybe that's part of it. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, maybe Quentin Jefferson's part of that too, you know, playing opposite Vernon Butler.
He is. Time. We'll get into that. Oh, yeah. We'll get into that.
We're going to get into it, but we're going to do it.
Oh my goodness.
I'm freaking out. This quarantine is like, ooh.
Oh, it's getting all of us.
It's rugged. Like, it's getting to me. Like this blue light is not doing enough right now. It's time to, you got to drink a lot more. And I love my kids, but like occupying a 4 and 7 year old 24 hours a day for like the next 8 weeks, starting to tweak out, man. Starting to tweak out. It's okay, but yeah, it's. Anyways,
I'm fine. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. I think Butler will be okay. I mean, it's just a lot of money to spend on a one tech, but who knows if they really feel like he's going to make the rest of the defense better, then let's just go with it.
Like you said, I feel like I do agree that it's like they had a burning hole in their pocket. Like they had $80 million to spend, and they're just like, eh. Let's just spend it. Yeah. Let's get these guys here. I mean, because they're not a big free agent destination. You see, this year, their major acquisition comes through a trade. And throughout the entire time that Bean's been here, they've never made splash free agent signings. They've made calculated decisions who they feel will help strengthen the team. And then, as we see this year, when they do want to make a move to set them over the top, it'll come through a trade. So I do think, as you said, they just had this $80 million to spend, and they're like, okay, let's pay people now, let's get them here, and then if we don't want them a year from now, we'll be able to rid ourselves of them. But if they stick, they stick, but let's get them here for this year and just see. So it's just weird, though, to give... As you said, $8 million this year to start to another Star Latulale. I'm just, again, it's not like they're pressed up against the cap. They had the money. It's not going to kill them financially, but it's just, I don't know if it's a weird spending of money. You have the money. I just think this is an odd way to spend it, but I guess it's fine. McKenna, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, Dilo covered it really well, but it's just another Star Latulale, I guess. Yeah, he does need a replacement. He only plays 50% of the snaps, so they saw that, you know, Bean and McDermott saw that, and like, hey, we need another big body in there who can do a shift, essentially, and, you know, maybe he'll get to the quarterback on, you know, maybe, you know, like, it's just like, on a lucky snap, he might get there, if, you know, but it hopefully that just frees up a guy like Quentin Jefferson, who they signed, and Ed Oliver, if they're playing at the same time. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's a deal. it's a free agent they signed, and I'm sure he'll be average.
Yeah, I'm not an NFL GM, so I mean, to sit here and say, oh, that's kind of an overpay for a guy who's just going to eat blocks, I don't know if that's an $8 million a year role, because I don't know the market for that. But, like, they're paying two guys that amount of money to do that. Just so I guess that's the – I don't know if that's the market. I don't know if you have another team that's paying two one techs $8 million a year. I don't know if there's another team doing that. But if they really think that's such an important part of their team that they need to be paying two guys that amount of money to do it, to have someone on the field always doing it, I guess – I mean, so be it. Brandon Bean's a smart guy. He's smarter than me, at least. So, I mean, Vernon Butler, we've compared him to Star Latulale throughout this entire conversation. Again, I think he might end up being more impactful than Star Latulale. He's probably a more talented player than Star. I just, But like Star Latulele, I don't know if his production is going to show up on the stat sheet. It might be more of an eye test thing. You just got to see if he's making an impact. So to go into what we did with Addison and talk about potential stat lines that would make us feel as though it was a good signing, that's going to be difficult to do. But I'm going to say, like, probably he's not going to get more than 20 tackles overall. He's probably not going to get more than 2 sacks. And I don't know. It's hard to say he needs this production given his role.
I think if we just, when he's on the field and we see the pass rush, like, you know, tick up a little bit and, you know, his teammates start to move the quarterback a little more, that's like more showing of how he's performing than, you know, his stat line. So if we just, I guess, see an increase of sacks while he's on the field compared to, you know, maybe a Star Latulele, for example, I guess he's doing a good job.
Dila, what's your Vernon Butler grade?
I'm going to give him a B.
A B?
You know what? I'm going to do a B. I have faith that Vernon Butler's going to come in and be a better version of Star Latulele, a more athletic version, based on nothing.
It's just, he's younger.
Just the gut
he's
feeling.
He's younger, and it's going to happen, and I'm going to say that if they split snaps 50-50, the team will have more sacks with Vernon Butler on the field than they did with Latulele.
Ooh.
I was going to give it a C.
There's just your hot take.
I'm very lukewarm about this signing. Sure, I understand it, but also I just think that's a lot of money. So, McKenna, you're the deciding factor here. Are we going with a B, a C, B minus, a C plus?
I was going to go with a C. It's just like these sort of players are so hard to grade, but I think a C is probably more accurate and fitting. Hopefully it is like a B or B plus, and he just, you know, really improves the defense, but we'll see.
Ah, funny.
Yeah, I didn't even realize.
I'll go C plus.
Oh, okay.
I'll meet you about a quarter of the way there, D-Lo. I'll go C plus there.
I grade on a curve.
So, I did see some people saying that Vernon Butler was going to replace Jordan Phillips as the rotational three tech, which he's not going to do. That instead is going to be Quentin Jefferson, the former Seattle Seahawk, who the Bills have listed as both a defensive tackle and defensive end. In a 4-3, he will play three tech. He's going to be that rotational guy. He's going to spell out Oliver. He's going to be what Jordan Phillips was going to do this year. He's going to do what Jordan Phillips did last year at the beginning of the year before he took over the starting job. But he's going to be that guy to come in when Ed Oliver's not playing and try to generate some pass rush. He got 2 years, $13.5 million over those 2 years, $6.75 million of which is guaranteed. So Quentin Jefferson, it's a fine signing, I guess. He's 26. He's still young. Coming off a 26 sack, or no, that'd be incredible. A 26 tackle season, 3.5 sacks, had 3 sacks the year before. He's, I think, a fine player, I guess. He's fine if they want to. I mean, because that's what he's going to be doing. He's just going to be coming in for pass rush when Ed Oliver's not on the field. So given that, that's not huge money. It's only 2 years, and he's 26. D'Lo, do you have the contract information in front of you? Do you know if they have an out here?
They do. No, actually, you know what? SpotTrack doesn't have anything for him right now. It just says 13.5, 2 years.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah.
But still, he's 26. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. He's not going to impede on their ability to re-sign Josh Allen or Tremaine Edmonds or Ed Oliver, whatever. He's 26 for 2 years. For a rotational pass rusher, I think that's fine. So, McKenna, what's your Quentin Jefferson takeaway here?
I think he'll be the one, like, he'll be the gem, the uncut gem, whatever the phrase is. The diamond
good
in
movie.
The rough.
I watched Uncut Gems the other day. Great movie.
Diamond in the Rough was what I was looking for.
There
but
it is.
Oh, well, now you got me on the Uncut Gems tangent.
Yeah. No, sorry. I think he'll be the diamond in the rough. This is all just coming from Seahawks fans who are like, oh, no, like, we should not have let him go. He does a lot more than the stat sheet says, apparently. So I think he'll be a guy who can really come in and make an impact, and everyone will be like, oh, when did the Bills sign this guy? And then,
true, yeah, no, that can...
I think that's just all based off what Seahawks fans say, but, you know, hopefully it'll be pretty good. Yeah, just a rotational pass rusher. I think we could see him getting 5 sacks this season, upcoming season, which I think would be a successful season for him, getting 5.5 sacks. So, yeah, I think he'll be the diamond in the rough.
Five seems, that seems reasonable to me, because he's going to be coming in when offensive linemen are a little bit beaten down. Right. So hopefully he can use his freshness and his athletic, not like, you know, I mean like stamina freshness, to beat some offensive linemen, get past a few. And I mean, five sacks would be a good total for a rotational pass rusher. D'Lo, Quentin Jefferson thoughts.
I mean, I think he's going to be, he's pretty flexible. I feel like in Seattle, he played all spots on the line. I feel like he played a little bit of everywhere. So I think it'll be a good depth option for them.
Yeah, I like this. This brings up an interesting conversation because he could play defensive end, but from how they've listed him, they've listed him at both positions, but I've seen him listed as a defensive tackle more often than not. In fact, let's get to the bottom of this. Let's go to BuffaloBills.com, my old stomping grounds. Let's see what the Buffalo Bills are listing him as on their roster page. I'm now commentating me searching the internet.
Is he on there yet?
He should be. They got everyone. No, he's not. They got everyone else. They got Stephon Diggs. What are you doing, Bills? Come on. Get my guy Oh, his name's Jefferson, not Richardson. That's the issue. Uh-oh. He's not on there anyway.
Vernon Butler's not on there either.
This is...
this is a travesty. The,
and this is just... Who's Jonathan Woodard? That's not a Bills player.
Defensive end.
Okay, they listed him as a defensive tackle on their official graphic to announce their new free agent. Okay. So let's assume he's going to be a defensive tackle. The rotational three tech. Where does this leave Harrison Phillips on this roster? Is he fighting for a roster spot come training camp? Is he fighting with Jefferson, or do we think he's a lock? Because let's assume it's going to be, okay, I'm going to say Butler's on the second rotation, but it really doesn't matter. Oliver, Latulale, Jefferson, Butler. That, where's Harrison Phillips? He doesn't have the athleticism to play defensive end, I don't think.
He would be, yeah, he's going to be fighting for a roster spot then.
It's interesting because Harrison Phillips, he was fine in his rookie year and he was injured last year. Is this just a case of like, yeah, you're fine, but we're in Super Bowl mode right now and we got to make ourselves better. We like you, but we got to make ourselves better when we have the opportunity to.
I mean, it could be. I mean, maybe you see Harrison Phillips just inactive a lot. They keep him around just because contract wise, he's not going to cost them a lot. And say, you know what, if somebody goes down, we have a reliable person who can step in who's been part of the system. So maybe that's part of it. I think it'll be very intriguing during training camp to see which one of those two really step up and become, because it'll be pretty obvious early on who's going to be the better option for them. You know, if Phillips is going to be able to retain his spot or if he's going to get kicked down the depth chart.
Yeah, I have to wait and see, I think, what they're going to do with Jefferson before I say that Harrison Phillips' roster spot is in jeopardy. Just if they're just going to use him solely as a three tech, well then yeah, Harrison Phillips isn't going to have a roster spot. But if they're going to use him as a three tech and then maybe kick him to defensive end on some downs and have him come in on passing downs where they need to get some pass rush and then have Harrison Phillips come in when they need a run stuffer, or maybe they'll have Phillips and Jefferson out there, Jefferson at defensive end sometimes. There's interesting things you can do. So I posed the question, but I don't think we can really come to the conclusion on Harrison Phillips yet. We'll just have to wait and see what they're going to do with Quentin Jefferson. So McKenna, what are your Quentin Jefferson thoughts here?
It's talking about Harrison Phillips now, I'm just thinking, like, I think Jefferson's versatility will actually be what could help Phillips, because yeah, like, he can shift out to defensive end when it is like, you know, they're gonna have to, they need to stop the run, so you're gonna get Harrison Phillips in there and just be another big body, stuff the run. But I think he's a decent signing, and yeah, I think come training camp we'll really see where how the organization sort of feels about Harrison Phillips and where they think he can best help their defense, because he's still decent. Like, he's not a bad player by any stretch of the means. He's just a decent rookie season, then getting injured in, you know, one of your more crucial seasons of your career, just very unfortunate for him. But hopefully he'll be back and he'll be healthy and he can, you know, help the Bills a little bit.
Yeah, he's a fine player.
Yeah.
Harrison Phillips is a fine player. So what are we giving here? I'm going to give it a B, if that's cool with you guys, unless either one of you feel that strongly either way in either direction.
I do not feel strongly in either direction.
Yeah, B's a good grade.
I think it's hard, too, because we're going off, like, what we've seen of him in highlights, because I don't think I've sat down and watched a, you know, Seahawks game.
I haven't. Not with the intention of watching Quentin Jefferson, at least. Though Game Pass is free.
That is
still free?
I did sign up yesterday. It's free through May.
What?
It's incredible. I watched some Stephon Diggs games. Stephon Diggs is just so fun. He's such a fun player to watch. I started watching Todd Gurley one morning, but then he signed with the Falcons, so I was like, oh, I'm not going to watch Todd Gurley anymore.
Hey, Kyle.
What's up?
We have breaking news.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Wait, what?
According to a leaked source, the Bills have agreed to a restructured contract for fullback Patrick DeMarco.
Oh, my God. You got me excited there.
Lowering his 2020 cap hit from $2.35 million to $1.9.
Does that mean they're gonna either restructure, like they're gonna do, they're gonna not re-sign but extend, like Tre'Davious White, or do you think they're gonna try to grab?
Oh my god! Does saving $600,000 on Patrick DeMarco?
Yes, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe.
Like maybe it's that one thing. Like it's maybe like Trey's holding out.
Maybe they're going big. Maybe this is their clowny.
That's their clowny.
Oh
money.
My god!
The clearance space.
Was the Patrick DeMarco restructure?
We've only got $19.4 million to clear, guys.
That would be like the most Brandon Bean thing, though. Like we need this so little amount of money, so we just have to restructure a random ass player's contract.
Then they release like Robert Foster and his like $600,000.
That's it. That's the one that puts the Bills over the edge. They're gonna sign Clowney or restructure a contract. I don't know.
See you later, imagine Davis Webb.
Imagine you're in that situation, though. Like, you're Patrick DeMarco, and Brandon Bean calls, and he's like, I'm going to sign Clowney. I just need $600,000 of your money. What do you do?
Yeah,
you're like, for my bank account, or just, like, for
like
my contract?
General, like, I'll give you $600,000. Like, I don't care.
Brandon, I don't have $600,000 to give you right now, dude. I just don't. Not in this economy.
Yeah, the stocks are down. This is really hurting my portfolio.
Stock market killed me last week.
Have you seen what's happening? Wall Street's closing.
Yeah.
I can't retire.
That's a A-plus restructure there for Patrick DeMarco.
That's the best move they made all offseason. Guaranteed.
Best move. Oh, I have to find this. Oh, I'm going to make the stupidest tweet.
Yes.
I'm finding this. I'm going to retweet the Patrick DeMarco news. And I'm going to say Bill's making Super Bowl moves.
Yes. Imagine that if the Bills do make a splash move tonight, we know why.
We know what it stemmed from. I love it. Bill's out here making Super Bowl moves.
You better remember, it's episode 44 that we talked about this.
That's
what
right.
What if it's not 44? That would be funny. That was from Jay Skursky. Is that how you pronounce it? Jay.
Yeah.
Skursky from the Buffalo News, so we're gonna credit him. There's your thanks for the scoop, Jay. Back to you.
We
thanks.
We are crediting in the same way that the AP would credit people.
That's right.
Hours later, or not at all.
Not at all.
Per AP source, per AP source, Bills restructure Patrick DeMarco. So that was my fantasy team name this year. We made it to the championship, but didn't have sources. Couldn't win it. Couldn't pull it out. On to the next signing. The Buffalo Bills signed a former Carolina Panther.
Would you believe it?
Yeah, stop me if you've heard this one before. The Bills signed A.J. Klein, former Panther, former New Orleans Saint, to a three-year, $18 million contract, over half of which is guaranteed. Now this, I don't know. He's a Lorenzo Alexander replacement. More of the pass rusher slash tackler, I guess, than the coverage guy, because from what I've read, A.J. Klein is not a good coverage linebacker, so he's seriously just base 4-3. I think they might play even more nickel this year, honestly, given A.J. Klein, because Lorenzo Alexander, say what you will, he was older, but he had a lot of versatility, still had a lot of athleticism, had a lot of tread on the tire, whereas A.J. Klein, I just don't think he's that athletic from what I've seen of him, from what I've heard of him. Granted, I haven't really watched him. Full disclosure there, I haven't really watched him, but from what I've read, he's not the most athletic guy, so he's going to be coming off the field for nickel, so I think in obvious passing downs, you will have Taron Johnson on the field in his place in the nickel, whereas AJ Klein's going to be out there just when they play base 4-3, obviously. I've now said the same thing in three different ways. So, D'Lo, AJ Klein thoughts? Do you have any?
I mean, I think it's fine. They needed to find a replacement who can, you know, be on the field whenever they go into base 4-3. So, I think for the money, it's fine. It's not exuberant. It's not anything over the top. And obviously, he's familiar with the system, so he's just going to be able to pop in very easily. I think he's also a guy who could back up Tremaine Edmonds if Edmonds were to get injured, because I think Klein's had some time on playing inside linebacker. So I think it'll be fine. I mean, teams are playing so much nickel anyway. Like, the third linebacker is kind of like, I don't know. It's just,
yeah,
you know, that extraneous part that needs to be there and play well when called upon, but it's not going to be as important as it's been, you know, 10 years ago.
Is his contract stuff out? Because I have maybe a hot take here on AJ Klein. If it's structured in the same way, we're going to have an interesting discussion here. No, his potential out is after 2022. Yep. They'd have a $4 million cap, dead cap, if they cut him next year.
So we've got him for a few years.
At least so, 2 years. But still, I wouldn't be surprised if he either right off the bat or, like, by the time he's done here, if he's just a special teamer and Voshon Joseph overtakes him. Because Voshon Joseph's kind of a guy that a lot of people have forgot about because he was injured all of last year. But Voshon Joseph is a very talented player. He was a boom or bust pick. If he doesn't pan out, well, then he's... There's an equal possibility that he is very bad to he is very good. You could say that about any player.
He's a real boom or bust, you might say.
Exactly. But Voshon Joseph. Thank you, McKenna. Like, it's going to be one of the two with Voshon Joseph. Either very bad or very good. So, if he turns out to be very good, he'll supplant AJ Klein in the base 4-3. So, we'll see how that pans out. McKenna, have I got your AJ Klein thoughts yet? I can't remember.
I have three words for this. Why not a Wunasaur? If I said that name correctly, I think like he's still a free agent. We talked.
Is he?
Last time I checked, he was, but that was like yesterday. So you never know with NFL free agency. It's such crazy, so crazy.
He won't be by the time this goes out. However many hours.
Yeah, he's gonna be signed with the Patriots or whatever. That's how it goes. But I just like it's a bland sort of signing, but a necessary one. Nothing too crazy. Like he's not gonna change the face of the defense. But I think there are better options out there compared to him. So, I don't know. Like, I'm not fussed about it. I'm not, you know, going to cry myself to sleep thinking about the fact that the Bills have AJ Klein on the roster. But, you know.
I'm going to give it a C+.
Yeah, I think so. I'll give it a C.
Okay. D'Lo?
I think it's a C. It's what nice. Okay. It's an average
nice.
Deal.
So what are we thinking for like his season? Are we like, do we care? 30, 40 tackles?
I don't know how. Probably. I don't know his stats from last year.
I mean, last year
season.
He had 69 combined tackles.
Nice.
There it is.
No, that's very nice.
2.5 sacks. He did have an interception.
Oh, big moves.
So, he seemed pretty like he's been averaging at least a sack and a half.
Under McDermott, his career high was 55. His high was 55. His career high is 70. I don't know.
Yeah, fine. Like 30, 40 tackles and a sack. You know, that would be a pretty decent season for him.
Let's hope he does better. Let's hope he's out here helping the Bills reach that Super
That's right.
Bowl.
Making
they're
it
out here
like
making.
Fools.
They're making Super Bowl moves here with the restructuring of Patrick DeMarco.
Oh my gosh.
Now we're on to the whatever signings. Tyler Matakevich, the former Pittsburgh Steeler.
Oh,
he is a special teamer, a special teams ace. Signed a 2-year, $9 million deal. That's right. The Buffalo Bills are paying $4.5 million to a special teamer. That's bold. That's a bold move. That's one way to spend your money on a special teamer. And, like, special teams, in past years, they've been bad. But last year, I think there's not really a huge complaint you could make about special teams. I think it was a fine unit overall. So, But again, you got the money. If you think he's going to be your standout special teams player, I think I read something that he has the most special teams tackles in the league throughout the past 2 years. So if he thinks that, if the team thinks that Tyler Matakevich is what's going to help the special teams unit reach that next level to become a good special teams unit, to very good special teams unit, you hear Sean McDermott talk all the time about how they need to be strong in all three phases, offense, defense, special teams. They already have the very strong defense. They've had that for a few years. It looks like that's going to continue. It looks like their offense is going to take a big step forward this year with the acquisition of Stephon Diggs, the number one receiver they needed, plus a guy like Tyler Matakevich, who, from what I've read, one of the better special teamers in the league. If you think that he's the guy that's going to spend their, you know, put that unit over the top, well, then $4.5 million is still a lot. But if you think he is the difference between an average special teams unit and a good special teams unit, and you have the money, I'm not losing sleep over Tyler Matakevich's contract. So, McKenna, are you losing sleep over Tyler Matakevich's contract?
I'm not. I have four words for Tyler Matakevich. How do you say his last name? Matakevich?
I'm pronouncing it Matakevich.
I have four words that's for how it's spelled. Tyler Matakevich. Looks like Tormund Giantsbane from Game of Thrones.
Like, see, I said last week that he looked like Sean McDermott. I said that McDermott had a thing for signing players that look like him. He looks like Trent Murphy. He looks like Sean McDermott. He's in that same vein of gingers with beards. Sean McDermott should grow a beard. I think that's my one takeaway from his 3-year tenure as Bills head coach, is he should grow a beard. D'Lo, Tyler Matakevich thoughts.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you have any?
That's the thought.
It's fine. I mean, I'm gonna trust the Bills process. Brass. I'm gonna trust, yeah, the process that they understand how to evaluate special teamers.
B-?
Yeah, it's a B-. Sure.
I love how I'm just like, if he's the guy, sure, B-.
I mean, it's fine. I mean, like, I don't know. Like, can't we train guys to go down the field on special teams and
no
do that?
You'd think so, right? You'd think they'd just be able to say, okay, you know how you tackle on defense? You do that, but now you have to run, like, 40 yards before you do it. I say you just bring in rugby players to play special teams. I don't see an issue with having a special team unit full of rugby players. You'll be getting kickoff return touchdowns all the time. They'll just be lateraling it and staying up.
Ooh.
We might as well just stay in the XFL.
I am forward thinking. Oh, yeah. This signing's going to be useless in the second year of Matakevich's deal when they adopt the XFL kickoff rule. And now, I'm going to say the best signing of the offseason. The Bills re-signed Tywan Jones, who one could argue is like maybe 20 to 30% of the reason why they got eliminated from the playoffs, because he came up with that huge play at the end of the Houston game. Because why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't Tywan Jones be the one to to end that? But Tywan Jones was here from 2017 to 2018. He was a fine player. One of my favorite Tywan Jones. I have two favorite Tywan Jones memories. I know you might be thinking, Tywan Jones, how could anyone have a favorable memory of Tywan Jones? So it was 2017 training camp. It was my first season writing for Bills Wire. And I remember something like this happening. He came into training camp and somebody asked him, why'd you sign with Buffalo? And he said something to the extent of like, because they offered me a contract or something like that. It was just like somebody made it sound like Tywan Jones had a lot of suitors. And he was just like, no, they offered me a contract. I think that happened. It might have been a different player, but from what I remember, it's Tywan Jones. And then also my favorite Tywan Jones memories, it was last year when I was an intern with the Bills, 2018. This was maybe a week or two before he got an awful concussion that ended his season and just bleeding profusely from his head, which was disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
But for Tywan Jones, I remember, why do I have so many Tywan Jones stories? So then, like, shortly before the start of the season, they named their captains, and Tywan Jones was named a captain for the 2018 season, a special teams captain. And I was like, wow, that'd be a crazy story from off the roster last year in 2017. Granted, he had a broken arm, if I remember correctly, but to come back and to be named a team captain, that's a cool story. So I interviewed him for Bills Today, and I was like, hey, Tywan, can I ask you a few questions? I'm with BuffaloBills.com. And he's like, yeah, can I record this? And I was like, sure. So he pulls out his phone, pulls up Instagram, and he just like posts an Instagram story of me interviewing him. He recorded the whole thing. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? Like, this isn't how this is supposed to work. This is, like, my third day here. Like, the meme. I don't know, I'm on my third day out here. But, like, I thought that was the norm. I thought, you know, people just recorded you interviewing them. But I went up to Chris Brown, I was like, yeah, Taiwan Jones recorded me. And he's like, that's weird. So that's Taiwan Jones. And then also, after he got that concussion, he would be in the Bills locker room just periodically throughout the season, and I would see him sleeping on the couch, and I was just always like, do I wake him up? I don't think you're supposed to sleep with a concussion. Like, I don't know. Do I save this guy's life? I don't know what to do here. I'm not a trained professional. I let him sleep, and he lived. So now he's back in Buffalo. So I'm giving this signing an A+. I love the Taiwan Jones signing. Anyone have any thoughts on Taiwan Jones?
I don't know, but according to some outlets, he did not receive a concussion in September after he got drilled.
Oh, did he not?
No, it's from our own Nick Wotan. There's an article from September 19th. Overshadowed by Levante Davis in sudden retirement was a scary moment during the 31-20 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers, and it said...
Great writing. Just fantastic writing there from our own Nick Wotan. So yeah, good thing I didn't wake him up.
Yeah, you could just let him sleep.
Taiwan, you got a concussion. No, I don't.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Although it does look gnarly. Like, it's definitely...
Oh, yeah. I think it was...
That was gross.
I don't know who posted the picture of it. I think it might have just been yeah.
I remember Sal posted a picture.
Yeah, and it was just... Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I feel so bad for him when that happened. That was just ugly moment.
I remember I felt like a child because I was in the I was in the press box when it happened, and I asked Chris Jenkins, who was one of my two bosses, I was like, does he just have like a design on his headband? And he's like, no, that's blood. It was just so much blood that it genuinely looked like a red and white bandana or whatever. It was just disgusting. But hey, he's fine. He's still playing, and he's back in Buffalo where he belongs. So Taiwan Jones, the new official player of the Kyle Selege Variety Hour. We're putting it down here. Also, we had a writer for Bills Wire a few years ago at this point, Victoria Saley, huge Taiwan Jones
that's
fan.
That's true, yes.
She was a huge Taiwan Jones fan. So the biggest Taiwan Jones fan. Does that wrap it up? Did we effectively go over the Bills' free agent signings here? We didn't give anyone an A.
Oh, no, we gave Taiwan Jones an A+.
Taiwan an A.
Oh, okay. You're right.
I wrote it down.
We didn't unironically give anyone an A.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the main takeaway from this whole Bills' free agent class is they threw their money around, and I think for the most part they threw too much money around. I wanted them to spend money, but I feel like they brought in players who can help this team, which they've done in the past, but just the contracts for the majority of them are a bit head-scratching. But also they had the money, and the majority of them are structured in a way that they can get out of it if they prove to backfire, so... Overall, a decent free agency haul here, made better by the Stephon Diggs acquisition. I think if they hadn't acquired Stephon Diggs and these were just their signings, I'd be a bit more upset than I am. But I'm not really upset at all. I think I'd be upset had they not acquired Stephon Diggs if Vernon Butler was the crown of their free agency, the crown jewel of their haul. But given the fact that they acquired Stephon Diggs, I'm liking the offseason moves they made. So any last-minute thoughts here before we get out of here?
I think it was a little complacent. Their free agent signings. I like thinking about it and like talking about it now. Like, they can still do more. Like, this is still like very up in the air because they still have some money to play with. But I just like I'm feeling a little unsatisfied from who they signed. I think Addison and Jefferson will actually make instant impacts to some extent, but the rest of them, they're so up in the air and in spots where. They already have talent. I would have liked to see Buffalo go after a running back, maybe even another wide receiver, like a Devin Funchess, for example. I don't know. I'm like lukewarm on it.
D'Lo?
I mean, I think this team is looking long term toward 2021, 2022, when they actually have to re-sign all of their guys. So I feel like that's why there's a little bit of a hesitation to get a big name that's going to eat up some salary cap. Because we talked about before, Josh Allen's going to, you know, eat up $30 to $35 million a year, and Trey White's probably going to get, you know, every day that passes, it's like he's getting more money because salary cap goes up and the cornerback
because the market has been reset.
The market's going up, so he's going to get like 17, 18 million, possibly, yep. Which is, you know, seemingly crazy because a few weeks ago we were talking about 15 being a lot. So that, depending on what they do with Dawkins and, you know, Tremaine Edmonds. And so I feel like that's part of it. But, yeah, it would have been nice to bring in somebody else. I think Diggs, though, if they don't do Diggs, I think we're kind of sitting there, like, thinking about why is he sitting on his hands. But,
yeah.
You know, the Diggs deal is good.
I don't. Yeah, if they didn't trade for Diggs, I think the free agent class would have looked a lot different. I think they would have tried to grab a couple more wide receivers. And a couple more, like, maybe running back or whatever. But, yeah, it's just, like, Stephon Diggs makes this, like, offseason seem a lot better, like, in my mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he is a top 10 receiver, in my opinion. In other people's opinion.
He is.
I
name 10 better. Go.
Right now.
The top 10 wide receivers? Okay.
Oh, you're actually gonna do it. Okay,
hold on,
let's
hold on.
Go for
Julio
it.
Jones.
Okay, let me write these down.
All right, hold on.
Have to be playing, so you cannot say Antonio Brown.
No, I don't give it. He's no.
All right, Julio.
All right, I would go.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. I would go. All right. Michael Thomas.
Okay.
He gets a lot of catches, but.
He's better than Stephon Diggs. Maybe not after this year, but he's better than Stephon Diggs right now.
What about
Nuke Hopkins?
Yeah.
I'll give you
Hopkins. Give me Amari Cooper.
Ooh.
Okay. Okay.
I think Cooper's tough. I think there's. I feel like
they're
like,
so similar.
I feel like Diggs is a 10 to 15 type of deal. I don't know.
I see. On paper, that sounds good, but we can't name 10 better.
Right, what about Mike Evans?
Yes, I'll give you Evans. I will not give you Godwin.
I draw the line at Godwin. No, what about Devontae?
Sorry.
Right, what about Devontae Adams?
I'll give you Adams.
Oh, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
I'll give you Adams.
I'm being
generous, too. I'll give you Adams. Let me look up best NFL wide receivers.
One, two, three, four, five, six. There's six right now.
I've only gotten six so far. All right.
Yeah. Some of them are questionable, like Amari Cooper, for example.
OBJ. Are we saying OBJ is better?
On his day.
Landry, are we?
I think on his day, OBJ is better, but he's not consistent enough.
What about what about an Edelman who just catches balls?
That's my thing with Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of receptions. He has one of the best quarterbacks you could ever play with, in a great scheme. I think he's a system wide receiver.
and if we're saying Edelman because of his hands, well, Diggs has pretty good hands too.
Yeah, and Edelman played with Tom Brady.
Keenan Allen, I want to say Diggs is better. I like Keenan Allen, and granted, Keenan Allen didn't have a quarterback last year, but he's gonna have Tyrod this year, and we know Tyrod never got the never. He couldn't get the most out of Sammy Watkins. He couldn't get the most out of Robert Woods. He never really got the most out of his wide receivers. So presumably he's going to be playing with Tyrod next year. So I think Diggs is going to be better next year.
This is an interesting list.
I looked up top 10 wide receivers of 2019. Juju, I think Diggs. Juju's good, but I want to say Diggs is better. Again, I'm not saying these wide receivers are bad.
No.
I just think Diggs is probably better. Tyreek Hill. I'll put Hill.
Oh, yeah.
I'll definitely put Hill over Diggs. So right now we have seven.
What about seven. Oh god.
If we want to say OBJ, which I'll even put OBJ.
What about a healthy AJ Green?
He's never healthy though.
No.
And no. And he's old.
And given his age, again, 5 years ago AJ Green's one of the best in the league, but
like a T.Y. Hilton?
Oh,
I think Diggs is better. See, nobody's made the argument for Adam Thielen, who
was gonna throw
the receiver in Minnesota.
I mean, do we do Thielen?
You can make the argument for Thielen.
But you can make the same argument for Diggs, which is very interesting. Would you say John Brown is better than Stephon Diggs?
I mean, the second tier of wide receivers here is
so
like a Kenny Galladay.
Yeah.
Michael Gallup, that range. Do we think Diggs is in the Jones-Thomas Hopkins range or the Gallup-Galladay range?
He's between there, I think.
He's like a 1A.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the one. I still think he's a top 10 receiver. I think the top 10, there are levels within that, though. Like,
yeah.
Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, DeAndre Hopkins are all better than Amari Cooper by a mile. Okay, but Stephon Diggs is in a similar, like, they're very comparable in, you know, in terms of talent. And this same with Mike Evans.
This is a super interesting question. This is...
and Devontae,
like, he's a borderline top 10 wide receiver.
He's like borderline top 10. Like, yeah. When he produces really well, like, you're looking at him at like, you know, like a 7 or 8. But when he's not catching balls, like let's say Josh Allen has a week or two where he's airing it out and it's just not hitting digs. Like,
which is possible.
Which is probable.
What? Probable.
Josh Allen has accuracy issues. I don't believe
that. Don't say that. Don't say that. You can fix that. You can fix it with footwork. Can I just keep...
Y'all hating on Josh.
Can I just keep yelling for like the next hour? No.
Yeah, just keep going. What, it has to be 2 hours now. We haven't reached that mark yet.
I'll stop recording, but you can keep going.
Yeah, but I would say like then you drop him down into like, you know, later teens if we're not connecting with him. So.
Well, that's every receiver though.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, that's why like it's hard with Michael Thomas because like he catches every damn thing.
Yeah, like, but what if Josh Allen was throwing, like, if Josh Allen was his quarterback, how many receptions would he have? You know,
Well, here's the thing.
47.
We're trashing Josh Allen, but his receivers last year both had career years with Josh Allen.
That's very true. That is very true, and I think he will get better next season. I think we've seen, I think he'll be up towards this, I think he'll be, like, up towards the 62-63% completion percentage, which is where you want him to be.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be great with him throwing to have three real wide receivers.
Yes.
Like, on the field at all times. You know, that third wideout spot, you're kind of like, oh, is he throwing the ball deep to Robert Woods again? Or Robert Woods, damn it. Robert Foster again? Like,
yeah.
Who, so, like, having three options that can really get open is going to be big. Like, they all run great routes. So I think Josh Allen has to be a big improvement this year.
Yeah.
I mean, people trash Josh Allen's accuracy because he does overthrow deep balls all the time. But also, in his short career, he has a proven track record of getting something out of talented receivers. Mm-hmm. Robert Foster in 2018, that was an undrafted rookie who he turned into what many thought could be a number one receiver in the NFL. Didn't end up happening because the Bills got better players than Robert Foster, and he led John Brown, who was looked at as a speedster, turn him into a legitimate number one weapon in an offense. Mm-hmm. Or I wouldn't say legitimate number one weapon, but their number one weapon. Cole Beasley was just a role player, or a good slot receiver. Now, last year, he was the move the chains guy in Buffalo, a very good slot receiver. I mean, again, we can trash Josh Allen's accuracy all day because it does need to be improved, but he does have a track record of getting the most out of his receivers. So, and people are trashing, you know, they're making fun of this. Oh, like dig sideline overthrown. Like I've seen that so many times, and that's gonna happen a few times because that's Josh Allen. But also, you can kind of assume, given what Josh Allen has done with other receivers, that Diggs is going to have a very good year. I don't think this is going to be a Kelvin Benjamin thing where his career spirals out.
Diggs is so much better.
Yeah.
Diggs is so much better.
So much better of a route runner. So that's going to help so much more with Josh Allen. It's just going to – this pass game should take a big step forward.
It's going to. I truly think it's going to.
If they don't, then they blow this whole thing up because – like how does it go backwards?
I see the concerns, but I do think Josh is gonna. Yeah. I think Allen's gonna do well. Which leads to another question. We finished our conversation 20 minutes ago, so this is my last question before we get out of here. If Josh Allen, if he has his worst year of his career here, and this year the Bills go 7-9, 6-10, and it's because of inconsistent quarterback play. This year where many think they're going to take that next step and be a legitimate contender, they end up with a top 10 pick. Do we trust Bean and McDermott to be the ones to continue the rebuild just because they missed on the quarterback, or do we fire, or would you want to fire them?
Oh, I would trust them with the rebuild. They have everything else in place, but they took a gamble on a quarterback who was boom or bust, and they find a more consistent quarterback, whether it be through the draft or in free agency. We could see them, you know, be a contender again. But I don't think it will happen. But I don't know.
Guys, I've just had a premonition. Chargers draft Tua Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. Beats out Tyrod Taylor in training camp.
Yes, he comes back.
It's
the return.
It's the trade deadline next year. Bills are 500, having quarterback issues. Trade for Tyrod Taylor.
And then he leads the Bills to their first Super Bowl.
There you have it. That's not going to happen, but that'd be really fun. No, I'm going to get killed in my notifications, but I do think Josh Allen, I think this is probably going to be his best year. I think the Bills are, I don't want to say they're a Super Bowl contender, but should some things go their way, they could end up there. So does that wrap up the conversation for today?
I think it's great. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills. Thank you guys for listening. You make sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Leave a 5-star review, please, or leave a 1-star review and just say they talk about soccer too much. Make sure to follow Bills Wire on Twitter at the Bills Wire that's what it is. On Facebook at Bills Wire, on Instagram at the Bills Wire. Make sure to follow D'Lo on Twitter at
Jay DeLauro.
Make sure to follow McKenna at
McKenna Middle.
McKenna, drop your Switch friend code.
I just posted a tweet about it. So just find me there.
It's on Twitter. Add him on Animal Crossing.
And Stardew Valley, too. I love Stardew Valley just as much as Animal Crossing.
You're a big Stardew guy? I never got into Stardew. Oh, yeah.
It's just, I love it. Like, this will be another, like, an hour conversation, so we should just, you know, end it here.
Yeah, we'll leave it. But make sure to follow me on Twitter, at Kyle Salagi. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Buffalo.
Bye-bye.
Buffalo. Buffalo. Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
I love Buffalo, New York.